Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Pick and Pod. I am your A host, Bradley Byrne, joined alongside Brogan Deserto and Austin Ashitino. And we're doing this over Zoom with finals being over for all of us. We are no longer in the studio and we'll be over Zoom for the summer. So before we get started, I'll ask you guys, Brogan, you first, how you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. The Knicks have a couple off days, which is nice. Finals are over, so it's just a good way to start off the summer, watch some basketball. I'm excited to watch T-Wolves Spurs tonight. That'll be a good game. And then game six of Cavs Pistons tomorrow night. I'm gonna definitely be tuned in for that.
Austin, how you doing?
Pretty good so far. I'm glad school's over, but I'm also like it is also kind of fun. Like at home's kind of boring, but yeah, it'll be great. It'll be a good summer. Nick should win the chip.
Hopefully, it kind of feels good, having a little bit of a week off just to not be mentally, on the edge of your seat, ready to just either break down in tears or start celebrating like they just won the championship. So it kind of feels good to get that, week off without Knicks basketball. But speaking of the Knicks sweep the Sixers 4-0 to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. They go back to back in terms of Eastern Conference Finals appearances. They obviously, unfortunately, lost to the Pacers last year. So let's see if they could bounce back this year. But I'll start with you, Brogan. It just, from the outside looking at it, you kind of thought to yourself, okay, the Knicks would win this series. But to win it in the fashion that they did is just crazy. They became the first team in NBA history to have three straight playoff wins by 25 plus points. And they had the largest point differential through the first two rounds ever. And they're the only team with 140 points in two elimination games. So, Brogan, I'll start with you. Then, Austin, you could jump in after. What are your thoughts on the Knicks' kind of historic sweep of the Sixers?
I mean, going into the series, I thought that they were gonna they were I had a very good thought. I had very high thoughts that they were gonna win. I didn't think they were gonna win in this big of a capacity. But I was looking forward to hoping that they were gonna play the 76ers because I knew they had a better shot at like trouncing the 76ers, not to this extent, but to I think they had a better shot of sweeping the 76ers than they did the Celtics. Like I said a couple weeks ago on Pick and Pod, I thought that if they'd played the Celtics, it would have been a closer series. But I mean, I'm so happy that they swept. Oh, and we didn't for the last two games. They didn't even need OG, which was amazing. And now he's good. Now with these several off days, they're gonna probably get him healthy back for the Eastern Conference Finals and Game One, potentially at the Garden with a full healthy roster. I mean, that's what you want as a Knicks fan, right?
Absolutely. Austin, what are your thoughts on this historic sweep of the Sixers?
I mean, obviously it's great you win 4-0, and then but when you look back at the series, the other Eastern Conference series, the Cavs, Pistons, and just see how physical and intense it is, there's always just in the back of my head, like, man, what if the Knicks, I know this is a conversation that gets talked about a lot, but like, man, what if the Knicks have too much rest? And they're not like in rhythm anymore, and they're not like they're having much momentum because they were resting. But I know rest is like it is pretty important, so I hope that just means that they can jump back in with more energy and not like be behind. But yeah, I'm glad. To be honest, I kind of wish it was over in like five games, but yeah, it's great that they won and they didn't need OG, and also how dominant it looked. But also the question is, can you continue looking that dominant? Because the Cavs, it's looking like they're gonna win the series, but it's not obviously not over yet. Like Donovan Mitchell and James Harden, the way they play, it's like the Cavs are probably the biggest threat in the East to the Knicks, I think, just because of how they can get really streaky with their shooting, like Max Strus. I hate that guy. And Donovan Mitchell can turn it on whenever, but he had like 36 points the other half the other night. So yeah, I
I
think.
disagree. I disagree. I think that the Pistons are a bigger threat to the Knicks. The Pistons swept the season series versus the Knicks 0-3, and the series didn't look pretty either of those three games. So I feel like they have a better shot against the Cavs than they do the Pistons.
I'm going to have to second that. And the fact that Jalen Duren didn't play any of the games, and the Knicks still got absolutely bodied in all three games. I think Cade Cunningham also sat one of the games as well, and they still got blown out, even though they only lost by like 15 points. That's still a blowout. So I kind of agree with you, Brogan. I think the Cavs are more talented in terms of the Cavs are the better team than the Pistons, but I think the Pistons would give the Knicks more problems because, as you said, Austin, the Cavs are—they're probably the most aside from the Rockets, they are the most inconsistent team in the playoffs this year. And because you never know which version you're getting, you can either get, the 6 of 17 and the 8 of 21 James Harden and Donovan Mitchell performances, or you get the Evan Mobley and Jared Allen triple singles, or you get how they looked yesterday. They actually looked really good yesterday, and we can dive into the Cavs Pistons series now because we're on the topic of it. I am personally shocked that the Cavs won yesterday. I think the Pistons really should have won this game. They kind of choked it away. Just for context, they had a 15-point lead midway through the second quarter, and they were up 9 with 2:40 left in regulation, and the Cavs scored 9 straight points to end regulation. And one controversial thing that I saw on Twitter today is that with 1.2 seconds left, Jared Allen trips Ausar Thompson, which should have been called a foul, and because they were in the bonus, it should have been 2 free throws for Ausar Thompson with 1.2 seconds left. And you can say all you want about the officiating and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, you can't blow leads like you do now. So the Pistons now face their fourth elimination game. They're 3-0 elimination games after coming back from down 3-1 against the Magic, which I still am shocked about, but that's a different topic. So, Austin, I'll start with you, and then Brogan, you can jump in after. But do you think that the Cavs kind of seal the deal? Do you think they close it out tomorrow, or do you think the Pistons have another comeback in them? What do you think?
I think the Pistons have another comeback in them. The way the games have looked, the Pistons have looked, they've looked pretty good. I mean, Cade Cunningham was kind of doing a carry job, but last night they didn't have Duncan Robinson, who what he averaged like 14 in the series or whatever. So you're gonna get the fill in that from somewhere else, but you got it from geez, I'm forgetting the guy's name. Who's the guy that subbed in the bench guy?
Dennis Schenkel. Dennis Schenkel started
Yes,
yesterday.
that guy. Dennis
Yep.
Jenkins. He was really
St.
good,
John's
actually.
grad. What I'm talking about.
Yeah, he was outstanding, but the Pistons definitely they have a way the way that they need to come back this series is to play it their identity is that they're like a tough basketball team in their defense. If their defense and like Jalen Duren can really clamp it down, also Ausar Thompson, they can easily come back from down 3-2. And with Duncan Robinson could always get hot. Because it's like what he does. So yeah, the series is definitely over for the Pistons. I could easily see this going to seven, and the Pistons could still make it out of this.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Austin. If you look at all of the games except for yesterday's game, which went to overtime, all of the games were the win margin was 10 points or less. So every game could have gone either way. And I think that Cade Cunningham's finally coming alive. You saw in those early games that he wasn't really the X factor in those games. And so I think now that he's like starting to come into his own, especially in probably the most important game of his career up to this point. They just gotta feed him the ball. And also, I think JB Bickerstaff needs to focus more on the big man for game six. Jalen Duren, obviously, you've seen that he's hasn't been playing great recently. And so they just need their big men to perform better, especially in Cleveland for game six, which could be that if they win that game, I think the Pistons win the series.
100%. And I want to go back to what you said with Jalen Duren. He did not play the entire fourth quarter or overtime. And to me, that's incredibly shocking. Like, this is what people say is an all-star center and who is supposed to sign a contract worth $240 million this summer. And when they're negotiating, they're going to look back at his playoff performances and they're going to say, "You're not worth that much, buddy." But I think, obviously, game six is game seven for the Pistons. Like, they're playing for their season right now, and kind of you guys said that if Pistons win game six and they're pretty much winning game seven. I kind of agree with that because the way the Magic lost game six in that first round, missing 23 straight shots and blowing a 24-point lead, there was no way the Magic were winning game seven. Like, that was not going to happen. You can't have such a demoralizing loss like that and possibly expect to win game seven. So I think it's all going to come down to who is going to be the clutch closer. Is it going to be Cade or will it be Donovan or James Harden? I think it's going to be a very close game for game six, and I think it's going to come down to clutch time and who's hitting shots late. But with that, I think that's. Do you guys think this is going? I know you guys said Pistons at seven, but who do you think is a better matchup for the Knicks? I know we were talking about it before the episode, me and Brogan, but Brogan, I'll start with you. Who do you think is a better matchup for the Knicks, the Cavs or the Pistons?
Yeah, like we were saying before the podcast started, I would definitely say the Cavs. Like we talked about before, the Knicks won two of their three matchups against the Cavs this year. They went 0-3 against the Pistons. And we were talking and I said that I think stylistically that the Cavs line up much more strong for the Knicks is their style of play versus the Pistons, the Pistons play very like football type of branded offense and defense, and I think that the Knicks just don't really have that. They're shooting a lot of threes now, and I think they don't have that ability just to like get down and dirty what the Cavs have.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with the Pistons. I know we said they didn't win a game this year in the regular season, but we saw the Knicks last year. They were like 0-10 versus the top teams in the NBA, and then they took out Boston. I also think that the Pistons team they're still a great team, but I don't think they've looked as good as they have in the regular season. You could see the playoff inexperience is kind of getting to them. And then, but also another catalyst is Ausar Thompson on Jalen Brunson. He is a great defender. Jalen Brunson did hit that really nice shot on him last year, the like step back crossover game winner or something like that. But I think the Knicks team can survive it. They could survive without Jalen Brunson, and even surviving means him scoring like 25 points, which is like an off night for Brunson. But yeah, I think this. I still prefer the Pistons, but. I think we could be any team. Any team that comes out of the Eastern Conference. Any team in the league, honestly. So,
Absolutely. Well, we'll get into that later. We can say something, Brogan.
No.
I'm going to side with you, bro. I think the Cavs, for a few reasons, are the better matchup for the Knicks. I'll talk about why the Pistons are a worse matchup for the Knicks. Because the Pistons, they really don't have a guy that you can consistently attack. Like in the Hawks series, we saw Brunson constantly calling for screens so he could be guarded by CJ McCollum. And then in the Sixers series, they constantly targeted Embiid about 1,000 times. There's really nobody on the Pistons that you can actively have, Brunson or, any of the other scorers really target because they're such a great defensive team where obviously Cade's a really good defender. Ausar Thompson's an all NBA defense guy. Tobias Harris, Paul Reed, Duren, they're all really good defensive guys. With the Cavs, you arguably have three guys that you c and on some nights you could attack the whole starting lineup if they're really off, especially James Harden, Donovan Mitchell. You can attack them 100 times, and I expect if the Cavs do end up winning the series, which I think the Cavs close it out. They haven't lost a game at home. I think they close it out tomorrow. If they play the Cavs, Mike Brown is going to be rubbing his hands together in excitement to see James Harden and Donovan Mitchell on the court together, because that's barbecue chicken every single time. I wouldn't be shocked if there's more Brunson ISO heavy plays if they play the Cavs, because the Cavs aren't a good defensive team. So, and also the Cavs historically disappear in the playoffs. I just want to say one thing before we move on. Donovan Mitchell, or no, Joel Embiid gets a lot of hate for never making a conference final, which is totally understandable. He should be getting hate for that. But Donovan Mitchell's also never made a conference final. And he had Rudy Gobert, who's four-time defensive player of the year. He's had Darius Garland, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, and now he has James Harden. So there's a lot of pressure on Donovan Mitchell right now. This is probably, you can make the argument, this is his best team that Donovan Mitchell has had surrounding him. So if they don't make the conference finals this year, you could say that it was a bust of a season. So I think there's a lot of pressure on the Cavs, and you really, as I said earlier, they're probably the most inconsistent team in the playoffs. And before we move on, I just want to read this one stat that I'll leave you guys with before we move on to the Western Conference. James Harden has had 30 playoff games with more turnovers than made field goals. I just want that to sink in for a second.
That's wild.
30 games with more turnovers than made field goals. And they talked about inside the NBA. I understand Harden has the ball every single possession, but it shouldn't be over five. Like, you look at some of the greatest scores of all time, KD and MJ both have zero. Kobe only had four, and Melo has five. Those are just some of the names I thought off the top of my head. So I'll leave you guys with that. We'll move on now to the Western Conference, where the Spurs take a 3-2 series lead over the Wolves after beating them by 29 points, I think yesterday, no, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So I personally thought the Spurs would win in five, to be honest, just because I didn't think Anthony Edwards was going to come back for the series. I was genuinely shocked that he even played game one. And that was a huge game one that they stole. But I think the main headline that I kind of took away from this series is that Wemby elbow to Naz Reid in game four,
Yeah.
where I personally think he should have been suspended. Because if you look at previous examples, Ron Artest was suspended 7 games when he infamously elbowed James Harden in the head, which was 1 regular season game and 6 playoff games. Guys like Draymond Green would be suspended for an entire season, or guys like Lou Dort or Dylan Brooks if they did this. So I'll ask you first, Austin, and then Broken, you could chime in. Do you think Wemby should have been fined or suspended, or do you think the no punishment was valid in this scenario?
I think it was valid just because I don't think, at least the way the play looked, I don't think it looked that malicious. It didn't look that like he intended for harm, but again, it's all he like he's a young kid. This is his first time ever being ejected, so I think just having the game off, having like think about what happened, and like I get it. Like he's like Draymond Green would have been ejected more because he's a repeated offender. Wemby like he's a good kid. Like he doesn't like actively do stuff to injure other players. So I think this was a fair. I'll say sentencing, but
Well, as the resident WFUV Wemby hater, as
here we go.
past Pick and Pot episodes, I think it was a little bit too lax. I think he should have been suspended for at least a game, if not 2 games. You can see that it was after the play was over, and he just elbows him right in the neck. And when I saw that, I was like, before they announced if there was going to be any suspension, I was like, oh yeah, he's going to be suspended for at least the series, just because looking at the past history of suspensions in the playoffs. And then when I saw that he got no suspension, I was like, really? I was like, Adam Silver loves to suspend players like you were mentioning, Draymond Green, but I don't know how this did not get a suspension. I was shocked.
Oh yeah, and look at it this way, Austin. I'll ask you this: if Naz Reid was the one that elbowed Wemby, do you think Naz Reid would be fined and suspended? You kind of have to look at it like that, you know?
I don't think so, but also Naz Reid he's been around longer. Wemby is still learning how everything works. So I know that's not a great argument, but
I think of it like the MLB put Shohei Ohtani. MLB plaster. I love baseball. It's my favorite sport. But MLB plasters Shohei Ohtani literally everywhere. And if he ever does anything wrong, I don't think they'd ever give him a suspension or a long suspension. Look
they
at
wouldn't even find
the
him.
gambling scandal. There was no suspension for him. So
You
I
could
think,
argue he should have been suspended, possibly. You could make
yeah,
that
and I think
argument.
Wemby should have been suspended too. And nothing
Yeah.
happened to either of them. So you look at, I think both of them are like in this unicorn status where both leagues protect them because like they're really key to ratings. You can see NBA ratings are up recently, especially these Spurs games. Wemby is like the future of the NBA, so I don't think they would do anything to try to get Wemby from like missing any games.
Austin, any rebuttal or?
I mean, I don't know. I'll stand on what I said. I just think that I think it's fair. Like Wemby, I think if this happened, if it happened again, I think he would get suspended for at least a couple of games. But I think it's like a first time warning type thing. So.
I guess, and you could argue that if Wemby was suspended game five, the Wolves are probably up 3-2 right now. I know I don't like to buy into ifs and hypotheticals because ifs don't matter, but if the Timberwolves lose this series in, 7 games, they can look back and say, wow, if Wemby received the proper punishment, was suspended game five, we're probably getting a different outcome. And it would end up being the Wolves playing the Thunder instead of the Spurs. But let's actually transition now. Do you guys, before I ask you this, do you guys think the Spurs take care of business? Do you think they close out the series in six?
I think this series goes to seven, and I think anything can happen in that seventh game. It's game seven. It's the two best words in sports. But I still think the Spurs take it.
Yeah, I agree with Brogan just because the Spurs they look like a better team. Even though the Timberwolves have impressed. I think they've actually overperformed at these playoffs. But I think missing Dante DiVincenzo and Anthony Edwards, maybe he's still a little banged up. I think the Spurs tough this one out. And also I hope the Spurs tough this one out too, because I think the Wolves will probably get crushed by the Thunder. So, and for the Knicks' sake, I want to see Spurs Thunder, because that gives the Knicks the best chance of not playing the Thunder.
Absolutely, and I also have the Spurs winning in seven as well. But let's kind of talk about Spurs versus OKC because we all have the same prediction, Spurs in seven. Do you think, and Austin, I'll ask you first, and Brogan, you could hop in. But do you think that the Spurs can take down OKC, the reigning champs, or do you think OKC, they're proven champs otherwise, and at the end of the day, OKC does have more experience, and experience does play a factor. So, do you think the Spurs continue their domination of OKC, or do you think OKC kind of bounces back and puts their foot down in the conference finals?
Yeah, I think the Spurs are definitely capable of taking care of the Thunder. The only thing is with the playoff like experience that the Thunder definitely have more experience. And the Spurs took care of them in the regular season. But obviously, as we know, the regular season does not always translate to the playoffs. So I think if the Spurs just play like themselves and play like who they're meant to be, then they could definitely take care of the Thunder. But I do think that even if they do move on, I think the Thunder could still win. But
I disagree. I think the Thunder. I hope the Thunder win, because I want the Knicks to beat the reigning champions. But I also think the Knicks. I mean, the Thunder have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder if they play the Spurs. Obviously, the Spurs went 4-1 against the Thunder this year, and I think the Thunder. You've obviously seen in the last 2 years they really come alive in the playoffs, and so I think the playoff Thunder are a little bit of a different beast from the regular season Thunder, and I think the Thunder get it done in, I would say Thunder in six.
that's
Thunder
fair.
in six. So you think that they go to San Antonio game six and close it out there? That's what you're saying? Because Yeah.
it'd be OKC, you have the first two games, then San Antonio, then go
Yeah.
back for.
Yeah.
I obviously the Spurs would be the easier matchup for the Knicks and OKC just because OKC did beat the Knicks twice, even though the first game was only 3 points, and then the second one kind of they slipped away from them. I think it'd be cool to get a rematch of the NBA Cup, but I kind of agree with you, Brogan. I think it'd be incredible if the Knicks get their first banner in 53 years, and it would be at the hands of them beating the reigning champs. I think the Spurs have what it takes to beat OKC. Obviously, Spurs are 4-1 against them in the regular season. And Wemby has kind of dominated Chet in the most of the games he played. And I think he's finally ready to kind of take that next step and to shine on the biggest stage. Because obviously the playoffs are a really, really big stage. But when you're playing the reigning champs and one of the greatest defensive teams of all time, statistically in OKC, I think Wemby has what it takes to really take that next step. And the Spurs also have the personnel to compete with OKC. You know, they have De'Aaron Fox, they have Dylan Harper, Stephon Castle, Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson. So, and also a team hasn't gone back to back since the KD Warriors, so it's pretty hard to do. So I personally think the Spurs are going to beat OKC, but I'm think it's going 7 games. I don't think that this is any less than 7 games. If it goes under 7 games, I'd be shocked. But I think it'd have to be because of an injury or something would have to happen. So we only have a little bit of time left. But before we wrap up today, I want to get your finals predictions. We'll do Brogan, Austin, and myself. What are your guys' finals predictions and who wins and in how many games?
It pains me to say this, but I think Thunder come out of the Western Conference, Thunder in 6 over the Spurs. I think the Knicks finally get their first NBA finals appearance since 99. I think the Knicks take care of the Celtic, I mean not the Celtics, the Cavs in or sorry, I the no. I think the Knicks take care of the Pistons in 7. Thunder, Knicks. Give me the Thunder in 6.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Knicks beat whoever advances in the conference final in the Eastern Conference in 6. So Knicks take the East, and then I'll go with the Thunder beat the Spurs in 6. Yeah. So then Knicks Thunder finals. I'm gonna say Knicks in 7.
Those aren't bad. I have a rematch of the NBA Cup. I have the Knicks beating the Cavs in 6, and then I have the Spurs beating the Thunder in 7. And I'm gonna say Knicks over Spurs in 6. So with that, well, before we wrap up, I just wanted to take some time out of this episode to send our condolences to Jason Collins and Brandon Clark, who tragically passed away this week. Of course, they were great NBA players, and whenever an MB or whenever someone dies, of course, it's a very sad time. So we just want to send our condolences to Brandon Clark and Jason Collins and to their families and to their friends. So with that will conclude today's episode of Pick and Pod. I have been Bradley Byrne, joined alongside Brogan DiCerto and Austin Ascitino. Pick and Pod is a production of WFUV Sports.